Amen. Praise the Lord for the message. It's one of the blessings of the book of Revelation. It reveals to us how everything turns out. And when you know how it all ends, you understand we're on the winning side. If you're on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, then He is the victor. Amen. And He makes us more than conquerors through Him. So praise the Lord for that. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18 as we continue our study. We've been looking at this for some time. Now, we start in the book of Genesis because I believe in order to fully understand the book of Revelation, you have to have a good understanding of the Bible as a whole, the whole Bible. And so we start in the book of Genesis, and we taught one message on each book of the Bible. We come through the entire Bible to give you an insight into what that book is there for, why God has preserved it, and what kind of information is in that book, and how it goes with the times since the very beginning until now. And so because the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. And it's the Bible that does that, so we have to understand the Bible. And so we went through all that, and then we got in the book of Revelation, and we started breaking it down and going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, in the study of the book of Revelation. We've broken that down, and we know right now, chapter 6 through 19, in the Scriptures, it deals with the seven-year tribulation period. Now, in understanding that as we're going through the book of Revelations, some thoughts we've given to you from the very beginning, and that is that God has a purpose for revealing all that He has revealed. There's a purpose for every word that's found in this Bible. And for the English-speaking people, it's this King James Bible, book of the Bible. God's preserved it just as He wants it preserved. We don't need to be looking to make it more friendly, easier reading Bible. No, because you're doing that, you're changing words. I believe that it's exactly the way God wants it for us as it is. Amen. And now there's nothing wrong with getting commentaries. If you have something that you don't quite understand, a commentary is man's idea of what the Bible says. And you can get insights. I use commentaries every week in preparing for services and preaching and studying the Scriptures. I like to glean from what God has given to other men. But at no time should we ever call those Bibles. You know, because they're not Bibles. That's man's idea of what the Bible says. We have one Bible. You know, God has preserved His Word. Not man's idea of God's Word. God's preserved His Word. So that Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. So if we know the Scriptures, you understand and you know that God has preserved His Word for us today, and we're going to be accountable for what God's revealed to us. So there has a purpose for revealing what He's revealed. And we need to understand and be taught, and I trust that you realize in a biblical church, we're going to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. We'll preach from Genesis to Revelation and revealing what God has for us. Good men differ on some of the interpretations, especially the interpretations of the book of Revelation concerning the typologies and concerning even some of the time frames as far as each one of the judgments of God, when they're going to take place, how long they're going to take place. There's a lot of different things there, and that's fine because that does not change the doctrine of the Bible. Good men will agree on the doctrines of the Bible. Amen. Doctrine's very important. We have to know and believe in the doctrines of Scripture. But when it comes to some of the interpretations, things that God does not clearly tell us, then if it's not clearly revealed, then it's left up to us. God reveals things about heaven to give us a little taste of heaven. I don't think that you can have too high of expectations of heaven. What God's revealed helps us to know it goes beyond our human understanding. It goes beyond what we can totally and fully understand. And so I know that no matter what my expectations of heaven are, it's going to be even better. Now, I love that thought. Amen. And it's all right to stop and just think about how great it's going to be. It's going to stop and think about, I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I think we're all going to be the same age. Amen. And because there is no age in heaven. Amen. So whatever that is glorified bodies do not age. They're eternal. Time is for this life. Amen. And as we look around, we can tell that there's different ages in this auditorium tonight. Time is for this life. In eternity, there is no time. Time is done away with. Praise the Lord. How that's going to affect how we interact and how we live. It just goes beyond our human expectations and understanding, but we can have high expectations. It's going to be better than any relationship that you could have here on this earth. Amen. It's just on and on. So we don't, praise the Lord for that. The idea there is what God gives us, if he does not clarify, then he leaves it up to us to be able to interpret that in a way that is pleasing to him and not going against other scripture. Okay, so there are good men will differ on some of the interpretations. I'm not going to argue over that. And I trust that you are not looking to argue over some of those points that make no difference whatsoever. Okay, and then this is a practical study. I'm a very practical preacher. I believe that the Word of God is to be lived. Amen. He's preserved it so that we might be able to apply it in our everyday lives. Even the book of Revelation, I believe, and I hope you found that to be true. We have been studying some of the biblical principles and some of the reasons why God's given to us what's going to take place. It helps us to know how to live today, how to apply some of those things to our lives today. Chapters 17 and 18 is what we have been looking at here the last few weeks. John is given a vision of what will happen to the world and the one world religion that will be established, the one world government. Babylon is what they are referred to in the tribulation period. And so 17 and 18, he reveals what's going to take place with the world during this time. The chronological order of events, left off in chapter 16, the chronological order of events will pick back up in chapter 19. Okay, so what after chapter 16, what's going to happen in chronological order, the next event is the return of Christ. That's going to be picked back up in 19. But in chapter 17 and 18, he pulls John aside, and instead of keeping with the chronological order of events, he reveals all of these things. And so that's where we're at. We're studying the things that God reveals before he gets back in teaching us the order of events and the return of Christ. Okay? So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read here in chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 tonight. Hopefully everybody's ready. You're not too confused. I believe the Lord has a powerful message here for us in verses 1 through 8. He says in chapter 18, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Wow, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us, for the opportunities we have to have church, and for your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already experienced. I pray your blessings upon every member of the choir who practices and prepares and sacrifices time to be able to minister to us. Thank you for the special music. And now, Father, as we prepare to receive the truths of your word, I pray that you'd help us all to put everything else out of our minds and, Lord, to focus on what you have for us to learn tonight. Meet with us and bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, during this tribulation period, we know that the earth, the world, there will be a religion. It'll be a one world religion, and this will be an antichrist religion. They're anti what God has established as true Christ-likeness and morality and how they are to live and all the different things. And we're going to see some things about that. But there will be a so-called religion. But this religion is actually abusing the followers, and it's using the humanity so that the religion can be elevated. So, if you will, men can be elevated so that churches can be elevated. And the people will bow down to them and look to them as somewhat God. And as we get into the tribulation, this Antichrist will actually reveal himself. He will die, and we studied a little bit of this last week as well, and then is going to be brought back to life, and he is going to position himself as the God of this world. And toward the end of this tribulation period, the whole world will be looking to this man of sin, and he's called the man of sin because he stands for everything opposite what Christ stood for. And the world is going to be following him and worshiping him, this man of sin, which is Satan incarnate. They're going to be worshiping him as God. And so we find here, this is what the angel comes down and he reveals to John and has John to write, and what God has recorded for us to know what will take place. And as we know what is coming, we can see it evolving around us today. We can see this kind of mentality, this antichrist mentality, evolving around us today, because this is the direction the world is heading. I mean, God reveals that there is going to come a tribulation period. The world, there's going to be a one world religion. There's going to be a one world government. We've already dealt with some of that and looked at why we look around and see the signs of the time there. But now what John is seeing is the habitation of devils, the mentality of society. And we somewhat even touched on that this morning in preaching this morning out of the book of Jeremiah, and seeing what happened before Judah was taken into captivity. And I believe the very same things are going to take place on the earth before the tribulation period. And then it's only going to get worse in the tribulation period. In the tribulation period, we find that the angel comes down from heaven with great power and was lightened with his glory. The earth was lightened because the earth is going to be very dark. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great. Again, we've already looked at what he's referring to, Babylon, this one world religion, the one world government, the Antichrist movement, is fallen, and is become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. Habitation of devils, that means they're running wild, and the hold, the stronghold of every foul spirit. Every evil deed, every sin imaginable, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. He's revealing to us here, the angel reveals the wicked ways of society before Christ returns. Now that's what we're looking at here. It's the tribulation period. The church has been raptured up. The church has no influence because the church is not here. And the man is let to go what feels right, and everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. And the government and the laws of the land are changing to the place where everything is anti what Christ established for humanity. And Satan is just let loose. And foul spirits are running rampant, working in and through individuals. Now, God gives us a picture of this. And so I think that we can, with what he tells us, we can imagine what's going to be taking place concerning society. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but it says this is the one that will take place as the man of sin is placed in a position and the world is looking to this man of sin. All forms of immoral behavior will be running wild. The habitation of devils. Fornication. Adultery. Homosexuality. All forms of abnormal physical relationships. All of this is going to be anti-Christ. Now, what has Christ taught us about physical relationships? He teaches us that your body is the temple of God. He teaches us that you are to remain pure. He teaches us that sexual relationships is only for that which comes together in a marital relationship. It's what God has established between a man and a woman, and He has instilled within them such a strong, powerful desire for each other that it's going to help them to stay together for a lifetime. What God has put in mankind and made it a natural instinct for a man to have a desire for a woman and a woman to have a desire for a man, that's all natural. That's what God has established. And Jesus came and said, yeah, God has established this because your bodies are to remain pure and holy, and it's a temple of God. Understand, that's Christianity. That's what this United States of America has based the laws of her land upon. That's what they look to come up with the Constitution and the laws that we abide by. And so they have to change all that to be able to change man's idea of morality. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 26, it says that they will turn against nature and their relationships. What would be natural, what even nature itself reveals. And they're going to be turning against that. Can you see that happening today? No. You have to be blind. You can't read the paper. You can't watch a television show. You cannot watch even sports today. They're glorifying sin. They're glorifying somebody who chooses to work opposite nature and give themselves over to something that God says is an abomination. And yet the society that we live in is glorifying that and putting that out as so young people can look at that and say, wow, if he gets that much attention for that kind of behavior, maybe that's what I want to do. Maybe that's my way into notoriety. That's how I get attention. And that's, can I tell you, that's by design of the devil to work opposite what God has established. What I'm preaching right now has been in this Bible the whole time. It's what America held to as conviction. It's all changing. But it's just the beginning. I guarantee you that every Christian is going to be crying as John did by the end of the book of Revelation and saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. My goodness. Even so come. Lying, stealing, rape, murders, no limitations. No limitations. Again, Revelation is revealing it to us, but that's not where it was first of all revealed to us. Jesus came and preached these very same truths. Matthew chapter 24, look there with me. Now that's what we've read. That's what the Bible says. It's going to take place. We know it is. But Jesus, before John was ever given the insight of the book of Revelation, Jesus came and he taught some of the very same things that support what God revealed to John to write in the book of Revelation. Again, that's why you have to let Scripture back up Scripture. You have to understand the interpretations of Scripture comes by Scripture, by way of Scripture. And the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. This abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. That's during this tribulation period. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. He knows what's going to take place there. He's trying to tell them, get out of society. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So he said the thing that comes closest to what it's going to be like in the tribulation period, the society during that time, the mentality and how Satan is running wild in God's judgment hasn't been like that since it was back in the beginning of the world. Now, what's he referring to? Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. The Bible goes hand in hand. We study the Scriptures. You just keep following Scripture. So he said it's not till that time. What's he referring back to? Genesis in chapter 6. Before God destroyed the world with a flood. And yes, that's biblical. That throws off everything that man has concerning dating the earth and dating all the other different things. They fail to realize that God does things. God can work opposite nature. See, man did not evolve to where he was. God created him an adult. It would have taken billions. It's impossible for man to ever evolve into a man, as evolutionists say. They just give another billion years and tries to think that's going to satisfy people. Just give another billion years and realize you can't. That goes beyond your understanding, your ability to understand that. And so they think you'll just buy into that when it could never happen. We find the account of Scriptures that tell us all you have to do is believe in God. God created this earth with age. God created man with age. And once you see that, then you realize naturally. The natural process is God made a man for a woman. He made a woman for a man. He made the two of them to be able to reproduce. God created them that way. They did not evolve to be that way. But Satan has always been around to hinder what God has established. And so we find the conditions of the world before the flood. That's what Jesus was referring to, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. That's exactly the way that it's described is going to take place before Christ returns. Foul spirits, habitation of devils. That's not physical, that's spiritual. What is here physically is man. What is taking place spiritually is man is yielding to these foul spirits, and man is yielding to this habitation of devils. And by yielding to foul spirits and yielding to the habitation of devils, his thoughts and his heart is only evil continually. Amen. So we find here, Jesus said that. He refers back to Genesis, and we find that Genesis is in alignment with what Jesus said, and what Jesus said about the future is exactly what we find in the book of Revelation. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Like Jeremiah this morning. Just brokenhearted over it. Just brokenhearted, thinking what it could be. But knowing what it's going to be if you go that direction. And if you know what it could be and you see him going in the wrong direction, how can it not break your heart? And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Didn't make them for that purpose. Man was never created to live and to yield to foul spirits and habitations of devils. He was created to glorify God. Wow. So we find that. What an evil time right before his return. Well, back over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Matthew chapter 24 is a great passage of scripture to study in relation to what's going to happen at the end time in the book of Revelation. So Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is presenting this. Verse 27, down to verse 31, is right before he returns. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's for the battle of Armageddon. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, the universe. Not the place of heaven, but the atmosphere. That's the heaven is referred to as the atmosphere that God's established. It's the third heaven, which is the abode of God. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the atmosphere. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's referring to what we're going to be studying. And so we pick back up the chronological order of the book of Revelation. We get in chapter 19. The message to those who believe. Now he reveals what's going to happen. There's going to be those on the earth that have not believed and did not take the mark of the beast. And they are not worshiping Satan. They're not worshiping the Antichrist. They are still looking to believe in God. And they're praying that the Lord would come and they would be delivered from this. During that tribulation period, there's going to be those on the earth. And the Bible says what he's going to do with them at that time. That's going to usher in the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And they will actually be able to live here as well as the reproduction process. Everybody that is born during that time for 1,000 years, they're going to live with Christ ruling and reigning. What a great time that's going to be. So the message to those that have to endure and have to try to live through this tribulation period, the 7 years. Think back 7 years. Where were you 7 years ago? From 7 years to today, that's how long the tribulation is going to last. So whatever you've had to experience the last 7 years, amen, the time frame of that, amen, 7 years is all it's going to be. So those that are in the tribulation, look what he says, the message of those who believe. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. come out and be not partakers of her sins. Anyone who has ever believed in God, in whatever century, has been given the same command. The only ones willing to come out before God destroyed the earth with a flood was Noah. He looked over all the earth, and there was no one else on this earth that stayed focused on God. God destroyed all the rest, and he delivered Noah. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Every century. This is not new to us today. If you study history, human history, as far as what the Bible reveals to us in human history, it's been the very same thing, the very same command. Come out and be not partakers of their sins. Joshua, before they went into the promised land, the very will of God for their lives. Chapter 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read, let's just read verse 6 down to verse 8. Be strong and have a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Don't be persuaded to turn away from my commandment when you go into the land. When you start conquering the land that I've given to you, I want you to possess it. I don't want you to become part of what's there. They're being judged. I am removing them from this land because of their sin. And I'm giving you that land because you are my children. I want you to live in the promised land and glorify me. And so he says, as you go into that land, he said, turn not from my word to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter what century, all those who believed in God, that wanted to follow after God, have been given the very same command, come out and be not partakers of their sins. Be the influence and don't be influenced. Be the light. Be the salt. Don't lose your savor. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It all ties together. This is an application of what he has given to us in the book of Revelation. Come out, be not partakers of her sins. We find that in the very beginning. We find that in the nation of Israel. New Testament church age has been going on for 2,000 years. It's been God's message to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with the unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Ye are the temple of the living God. Your body, you see, is a temple. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, listen to me, especially in this New Testament church age, we are not to be isolationists. We cannot accomplish the purpose that we have during this church age if we isolate ourselves from humanity. We are not to be isolationists, but we are to be separatists. We are to be the influence on the world instead of allowing the world to be the influence on us. We are to be the light of the world and the salt, as we've already mentioned that today. That is what's most important right now for us to do in knowing what's going to take place, knowing what is happening in this worldwide. And we might not be able to stop everything that's going on, but we can reach as many people as we can and try to help them to receive Christ as their Savior so that they are not engulfed by this whirlwind that Satan is leading society to. You and your family can be salvaged. Possibly you and your neighbors. Well, how we need to understand the necessity of representing Christ as we know where this is all headed. Come out, be not partakers with them. Don't lose your testimony. Don't lose your savor, your influence. Go back with me to the book of Revelation. We're getting ready to close here. Verse 4 is come out and be not partakers. Verse 5 through 8, God reveals that he's going to judge sin. God has always judged sin. Adam and Eve, they didn't get a pass. Amen. God judges sin. Praise the Lord, God is a very merciful God. And we don't get the judgment that we deserve if you trust in Jesus Christ. But God judges sin. Verse 5 through 8, he reveals he's going to judge the sin. In verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Now, some are somewhat confused there, and there's really, does that mean that all this tribulation is going to take place one right after the other, after the other, after the other? All the judgments we revealed and all the things that are going to take place at one day. What? I think it's all going to come to a head in this one day. In this one day when Christ returns. Death and mourning. And famine. And she, the One World Society, the Antichrist movement, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. When Christ returns, it's all going to come together in this one day. All will be judged, and the millennial reign of Christ will then be ushered in. That's why picking back up in chapter 19, the next event is Christ coming. And this is going to happen. We're going to better understand it as we read and we study what he was revealed in the next chronological order. But in chapter 17 and 18, he says, I want you to see an overall picture to help you. For now, knowing this is going to take place, knowing what's going to take place, for now, I think we have this to know what he tells us in 1 John. Go over there with me. We're going to close. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to see those who are going to be mourning this judgment. It's those that have dedicated their life to getting rich off of this Antichrist mentality, had made money, those religious rulers, and all those who are in positions. And we're going to see that as well. But understanding what the end's going to be, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that is in the world, and now he's revealing what he's telling you not to love, the lust of the flesh. You got to control that. Can I tell you that every one of us have the same flesh? We have the same fleshly nature. We have to control that. If you love what the world can do for your flesh, it's going to control you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. That's control. What you're feeding your brain by what you're looking at. And the pride of life. It's all about me. I don't care how it affects others. It's about me. It's about my rights. It's about my enjoyment. It's about my choice and wanting to live in whatever kind of ugly lifestyle, whatever kind of sinful lifestyle. That's a pride. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away. Amen. Come on now, wake up. Look at that. And what he says, this is what you're giving your life to. Do you realize what you're giving your life to? What Satan is trying to put out in front of you as a carrot to try to get you to run after and sacrifice everything else, sacrifice your relationship with God, sacrifice the holy life, a holy way of living, sacrificing your family and all the things that God has for you to live by, sacrifice all that because of this, which is brought on by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And he said, all of that in one day is going to be destroyed. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the God abideth forever. You need to see that. When the temptations come, and they will, when the flesh tries to rule, and it will, have to look to the end. Have to see what God sees. Have to see what God has revealed to us. A life given to this world is a wasted life. Because this world and everything that you've given yourself to is going to be burned up one day. A life given to Christ, a life yielded to God and used by the Lord, or bring eternal blessings. Amen. Look beyond what criticism you might have today. Look beyond whatever persecution you might have to endure today. And look beyond whatever you think that you're missing out on today. And look to what God has revealed to us. Look to where it's all headed. And you'll say, not worth it. Because even if the rapture doesn't take place for another 20 years, your life could end today. And the very same thing for you is going to take place as it will at the rapture or even at the end here. Your life is over. And what you have dedicated your life to is over. And if it's to the world, it means nothing. But it's to the Lord, it means everything. Amen. Practical application of what God has revealed to us from the book of Revelation. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. We live in this world, we do. And we're going to work, and it takes money. I understand all of those things. God didn't tell you to be an isolationist. Just stay focused on what this life is all about. Don't ever forget where this life is headed. And look to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you for the insight into this book of Revelation, how that we see what you revealed in the book of Genesis, through the prophets, through the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now here in the book of Revelation. Lord, help us to know for sure it's true. Help us to base how we live our lives upon the truths of your word. Help us to stand where you'd have us to stand. I pray right now that you'd just work in our midst for whatever decisions that need to be made. I pray that you would lead each one.